are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Because I know that since I've been taking your products, it seems to me that the protein has just really been kind of the one that's starting to transform my physique. I mean, Emmerich, I keep saying it again, and especially because of my age, it's remarkable to what's going on. I mean, I can't even believe that. And, you know, so what you're saying basically is taking that protein that you have, and I want to get more into that protein and the reason why it's making me feel like this, is creating a compound effect, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, egg is nature's best creator. It's one of the most complete protein in the world is eggs. Now, when we're talking about the growth factors, which are in a age defense, this protein using has growth factors too, because it's not just a fertilized organic egg powder. It's an egg where embryo was in development, like a life was in the process to create it. So this has parts, some growth factors, doesn't have the pluripotent stem cells like a growth cell, because, you know, pluripotent stem cells then can go and regenerate and work anywhere in the body versus adult or young stem cells. Now, just imagine that you have a protein which has growth factors and also young stem cells, which are very important entire metabolism and how we function, which is not part of just regular egg. So you, if somebody thinks, oh, I'm going to eat egg powder or raw eggs or whatever, I'm going to have the same benefits as the powder you use. It's not, because it was not a source where an embryo is in development. And because it's in development, growth factors from the egg development yolk with the embryo, some growth factors, they are created surrounding the embryo because a protection is developed there. So the cationic peptides and protease inhibitors are all also start created with the embryo development, because these two major, one is antibiotic and virus, and one is specifically protects the embryo from viruses. So just imagine you have all these traces also in your protein.
Interesting.
Okay. And now, then I have to look it up. I have a from Dr. Hayden, the scientist from NASA. He made a mathematical chart, which is very hard to understand. Even medical doctors wouldn't figure out. You have to be a biomolecular scientist. But on his calculation, it showed that the growth cell enhance absorption of all amino acids 38%. Amino acid, not just amino acid from any source of protein increasing. So I assume we have this unbelievable egg protein containing healthy fats, minerals, zinc, calcium, selenium, you name it. It gives you a whole package of minerals and vitamins. Now, on the top of that, you take, let's say you take same amount of egg powder without using an egg source with embryo in development. Just imagine, and you have those growth factors plus the age defense using it. Now imagine you take 5 gram protein from non-embryo egg source, and versus this one, suddenly you get 38% more amino acid absorbed from my version of egg. That's huge. So now basically you don't consume that much protein, but you have the same effect consuming more, and it's less stress on the body.
Yeah, so it's more efficient. Now,
So I do, you know, I have proof for this mathematical configuration. However, regarding the nitrogen retention, that it proved on myself, because I was fooling around. I was using this egg, and regularly, and it's no way. I never had the same effect from just using the regular eggs versus this one. I noticed in one day.
Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Okay, the growth cell, if I understand it correctly on how it works and why it's really effective, because I think you're saying the same thing with the protein, but I just want to make sure. The growth cell, and it's been a while since I read the literature, but it seems like the growth factors are encased by some kind of protection that when it goes into the gastrointestinal system, it's protected. Correct. It's protected all the way through till it gets into the bloodstream. Is that correct?
Correct. So basically, it was incorporated in a powder and anti-pepsin. So the pepsin enzyme would not recognize the growth factors as amino acid, so leaves them alone. And also for lubrication, they use carbohydrate from the egg, you know, the membrane of the egg that has carbohydrate, you know. So I just share as much. It's in the patent, and anything I know, it's not in the patent. I'm not going to be able to share that because it's not right. Everything discloses the patent.
Okay.
So it goes intact to the digestive system, and it works so quick, and it's so quick. It doesn't take hours, just minutes.
Yeah.
For example, I don't know if I mentioned that also contains 2-AG, which is part of the cannabinoid in our system. So it also contains 2-AG. Now, on a blood test conducted at China Lake Laboratories, the Navy, after 15 minutes, it showed the CBD concentration in the bloodstream. After 15 minutes was about 180% more than without.
That's the cannabinoid that you're talking about.
Yeah, 15 minutes. So that shows, if it shows so quick in a bloodstream, that CBD, it does same thing with amino acid and other nutrients. So basically minerals, vitamins, they get so quick.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable because these growth factors, the science and publication, they act as a ligand to the receptors. That means they can, and the activity also, it's used the word agonist.
Uh-huh.
So the activity, so when you take orally something, it can be within 1 and 50% activity or agonist. When you add this growth factors, these growth factors create 100% agonist.
Okay.
So that I was incorporating and telling everybody, because, you know, people, they confuse. It's you know, you have to really spend hours and days to learn all these growth factors and how messenger RNAs. It's unbelievable, this science. However, now, if my theory would be not working, then you wouldn't see the CBD in the bloodstream so often elevated.
Right.
And these growth factors, they act a ligand to every single receptor in our body. Doesn't matter. Androgen receptors, you take the age defense product with the growth factors. I demonstrated for myself and now many hundreds worldwide. When you take the age defense and you inject just a little testosterone, only mimicking you testes will produce normally. Suddenly, your total testosterone, it's mid, a little higher, but never goes out half range. But your free testosterone, which in the circulation, it's unbelievable that we need. If we need anything in the bloodstream, it's in circulation, that's one. The total testosterone just floating in your body causes all these side effects. So what's in the bloodstream, that's matter. All every time, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, everything. That's the only way we get transported to the cells and tissues.
Okay, my question then is, with the cannabinoids as it relates to them, because I know I take CBD oil for some, just for aches and pains I have. So the cannabinoid in the age defense, what exactly is it doing? Is it addressing pain, or is it actually making the
the two AG which in our body and we have in the body, but not everybody has enough quantity. Mm-hmm. And that again, further studies need to be done. I just use my common sense and everything because you know it's no studies on this, but that is the one fights and resists your body for pain. So when people they smoke marijuana, the THC has a 2-AG sort of activity. You know, that's why they have less pain.
Right.
Now, as you know, probably from other people they're using now the age defense, they all noticed that the aches and pains is less and less, and more they're taking it, it almost disappears.
And I concur with that. I can be, you know, I've been on it now for quite a few months, and I can confirm what you're saying. Absolutely. But I want to go back to the cannabinoid, because does the cannabinoid, in addition to addressing pain, does it help the rest of the product absorb any better, or is it just there for pain?
No, it's everything, not just for the pain, everything. Okay. Everything. That's included CBD1 and CBD2 receptors, everything. So basically, when you take CBD and some people, you know how some people, they notice and some people, they don't notice because they don't have probably not enough activated the AEA and the 2-AG because also you need to, the receptors, we have CBD receptors all over in our body.
Okay.
And the CBD is very important for development. And a lot of people, they involved, the selling CBDs, they had no knowledge that basically first time we had access to CBD was mother's milk.
Interesting.
Mother's milk. Yeah, because it's very important, the baby development.
Right. That makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
So I had one guy said, oh, my wife, she's pregnant. She doesn't take the age defense because I had cases where the lady, she has miscarriages. Mm-hmm. And once start taking the age defense, there were no miscarriage. So he said, and after birth, the doctor said they never saw such a healthy placenta after birth. They were just shocked.
Yeah.
How nice, healthy placenta. Now, I told to this man, I said, have your wife Google mother's milk and CBD? So he did. He called me and said, oh my God, we didn't know that. She was worried about the baby going to get CBD, going to be born defective.
No.
The CBD helps in development. So that's why any mammal has milk. They all have CBD in.
Interesting fact. You know, I never, ever have once heard that. Now, going back to the, as this age defense getting into the bloodstream intact. Now, it's going to the, at some point, it's ending up at the RNA and DNA, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So basically, it will also support. So I just want to clear this up. It's not a cure. It's not a drug. I don't claim they're going to cure, prevent disease. But long as you're able to use something natural, helps cell communication, also helps your body absorb this very important nutrients, including amino acids, minerals, vitamins, then I don't see anything wrong and it's no side effect. Now, when you, like when you take this orally, and we were mentioning that besides works on cell and tissue levels, so basically repairs on cell and tissue levels. Now, somebody with a defective DNA, of course, because when we develop in the embryo stage, you know, the, our DNA is everything. Of course, if somebody has a defective DNA, either was born with or it happened because the life they live in, you know, sedentary life, it, of course, will get involved in, and will repair DNA. Mm-hmm. Also, then, like I said, I don't mention a cure or prevent disease, but because what is it? It's, I would call it the holy grail, because what's in this, it creates a life.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, if you have genetic disorders, you're born with that, in the results I've been seeing, those people have results too.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it doesn't cure. I don't say it's cured, but as long as they stay on this, they're able to manage a healthy lifestyle, they're able to do exercise, you know, sleep well.
Yeah.
But also I'm emphasizing to everybody, if you take the age defense, you still need to pay attention what you put in your body, what kind of food, because if you're overwhelming the junk and the toxins, you know, it's not going to be right. able to right. rehab everything. You know, you have to live the way our ancestors, they were living. There were no preservatives. There were no TV dinners. There were no anything microwave.
Right.
You know, so this stuff. Yeah, but definitely, if when you think that these growth factors, they're involved in every single process in our body.
Right. Okay. Now,
from the hair to the toe.
Right. The other, well, our whole body's made up of protein, right? Correct? It's all protein.
Yes.
Your body. Okay.
Yes.
Now, so we know that the age defense, again, correct me along the way if I'm wrong, because that'll help our people that are listening. Now, taking age defense along with this protein enhances and improves absorption. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Now, yeah. It's kind of a well-documented, I don't know if it's a fact or what, but that eating protein in each sitting, your body's only able to absorb about 25 to 35 grams of protein at one sitting. Now, taking the growth cell along with this protein, can you actually increase the amount of grams of protein in one sitting? Because it's, like I said, it's pretty well known, 25 to 35 grams is about as good as it gets for your body.
Well, you can eat all the protein. It's not 30 grams. We're talking about the amino acids from the protein. Because, you know, either chicken breast or a steak, the body, the enzymes, they break down and the amino acid, they go. We're saying protein, but actual amino acids, the building blocks.
Okay.
So from that meat, our body, the enzymes breaks down, selects, and transport to the muscle cells everywhere, tissues, amino acid.
Okay.
So yes. So you can have, you know, I don't believe that only 30 gram, you know, because you could have 3 meals a day and have just all the protein 3 meals. Or I know some old timers, even Serge Bray, if I recall correctly, he ate like only like twice or sometimes three times a day, but he was eating like 1 kilo of horse meat at once.
Right. Yeah. So there was a lot there to break down over a period of time.
Yeah. So that 30 gram, I don't believe what I believe, and I think is the amino acid what became available. So maybe you take that 30 gram protein, etc. We don't know how much amino acid get to where it's supposed to go.
Right.
Now with the age defense, these growth factors, now you know, then is 38% more amino acid will be available.
Yeah.
And that 38% more, that means you get it from half as much protein eating daily than used to.
Right. Which again,
now suddenly it's more. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Because I know the enzyme activity and production is very important to break down, you know, the enzymes and bile is very important to break down this protein in your body. Do does the age defense or the growth cell in the protein that we're taking, that I'm taking, does that have extra enzyme activity in it? Or, I mean, enzymes?
No, it directly helps your own enzymes.
So it stimulates your own?
Yes. For example, in a study conducted in Hungary, they were doing research on epithel cells in a lining in the stomach and regenerated that too. Also, it affects the ghrelin hormones, which gets your appetite, you know, some people, they have very low ghrelin and they have no appetite. Now, when you take this age defense, that doesn't mean like injecting the ghrelin injections people they do, then you can't stop eating. You're eating 10,000 calories, still hungry. So this is just regulates where naturally you're supposed to have them.
Yeah. That ghrelin that you're talking about is in GH, because every time when I used to take GH, back in the day, and I used to see the guys, you know, some of the pros, hell, they were eating everything in sight, and they were
because they upregulate the ghrelin hormone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're very good. Yeah.
And that's not normal when you're eating, and you're not feeding your body because you listen to your body. I'm hungry. I'm eating, because it tricks you. So basically, eating twice as much calories you need, and that's why you get fat. On the top of that, they are craving for sweets, you know, and we now besides overeating it, now we have another problem where the good bacteria would be happen in your gut also from the colon. We come back because leaky gut, and you know, we spoke last time about first time we spoke how the belly is sticking out on pro bodybuilders. It's not because the organ, the growth, it's just because the fat, also the colon, is expanded.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief and the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Talking about the colon, I don't know if it was you that told me this or I heard from somebody else, but Elvis Presley, he actually died in part, it sounded like, because he had all this waste. Like, I don't know if it was, I think I heard 26 or 36, something crazy amount of waste in his colon.
42.
So I heard it from you, I guess.
And John Wayne had even more than 42.
Unbelievable. How long is your colon? I mean, to be able to store that kind of waste.
Well, you know, the biggest part are in is our system is the colon, you know.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about, you know, with John Wayne on the movie sets, what they were eating back then. You know, they didn't know nutrition back then. You know, they didn't know probably they were eating. I know Elvis Presley's favorite food was peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Right.
You know. And that's still a lot of people's have them daily on their diet. And I see bodybuilders, they are stocking up peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. Okay, so getting back to the enzyme production, you were saying that taking the growth cell and the protein actually stimulates more production of enzymes. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. One of the things that I ran across, Emmerich, and maybe you can verify this, in some research was that, which goes against popular belief, you know, bodybuilders have been told for years, I was, that you should eat anywhere from 4 to 7 times a day, something like that, you know, every few hours you should be eating. And yet I ran across some research that said that eating fewer times a day can actually be more efficient because of what it does, how your body responds to producing more enzymes, lipase, for example, and bile. So it made it more efficient because when you're sleeping, your body is releasing and producing enzymes, correct?
Correct.
Right. So they said in order to create even more enzymes in the bloodstream, because that makes sense because your enzymes and bile get together and they break down fat into free fatty acids for energy.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that?
Well, the only way I believe little small meals during the day for people that have ulcer, you know, because you always, if you have ulcer, you eat little food during the day, you don't have that acid reflex.
Oh.
As burning. Now, regarding protein, I wouldn't have 6 times protein a day. It's not, because our body use up carbs as a first fuel. So right. You never run out amino acids, but the carbs you can fuel. Now, I would agree with that. Very small amount of carbohydrates during your day, it's okay. Instead of having 200 gram carbs at once.
Mm-hmm.
When I was competing, that was my whole thing. I didn't cut out carbs, but what I did, I managed to have small doses during the day, you know, like only like 10 gram carbohydrates many times.
Yeah. And I think what some people don't realize is that, and it's happened back when the FDA came out years ago and they said, they recommended cutting your fat intake down in your diet, the profile. And what happened, people started eating more carbohydrates instead, and they actually got in worse shape. And the reason why, as I understand it, is that kind of like what you're saying, your body can only absorb so much carbohydrate, the sugar in the bloodstream before it turns into high blood sugar. So what it does then to protect you is it takes the excess carbohydrate and it stores it as a triglyceride. Is that correct?
Correct. Now, see, our liver can hold a amount of carbohydrate. So once you replace the carbohydrate in the liver and the muscle, anything extra, it will be, of course, it will have, it will put more fat on you.
Right.
So so that's another thing on the pro bodybuilders, why they're so spongy and they get fat, because they take insulin, yeah?
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, you can eat one time about 80 gram carbohydrate if you deplete it. That will take care of your liver and the muscle, yeah?
Uh-huh.
But if you eat 200 gram carbohydrates, the rest, 100 gram, has no way where they're going to go. The liver is not going to take anymore. I said I have enough.
Yeah, and that's the reason why, you know, I talk about the three macros. And again, I'm just using common sense and firsthand experience. You know, when people ask me which is the most important macro, I say protein. And I say, I think that actually the worst of the three macros is sugar, because of what we're talking about. Because when it stores that triglyceride, a triglyceride is not dangerous until it gets over the number 500. And then you're exposing yourself to heart disease, correct?
Correct.
Otherwise, under 500, basically to me, it sounds like it's like a place to store fat, and when your body needs it, it produces enzymes and bile and goes and gets the fat and breaks it down into energy, correct?
Yes.
Okay, correct. So we're on the same page.
Yeah, so the way I tell guys, they're asking me how to eat, they're carrying all this colored drink with dextrose and stuff, and they had already a good breakfast. Yeah. So I said, if you had 2 hours before you go to gym, about 80 gram carbohydrate, a good source like oatmeal, for example. Right before you go to the gym, all you need maybe 10 gram of carbohydrate, no more. That's it, because you're not depleted yet.
Right.
You ate breakfast and you're waiting, you know, to go to the gym.
Getting back to protein, one of the things I found pretty interesting, I like bouncing this stuff off you because you know what you're talking about, is as complex and as fantastic as our physiology is, our system doesn't have the molecular structure to store protein. That's what I read. And that's the reason why they talked about you should eat protein every so many hours, because your body can't store it. Do you agree with that?
Well, protein, but we can store amino acids. So protein, you can store, you know, we always end up again to the amino acids.
Okay.
You know, amino acids. And amino acids doesn't get depleted as quick as carbohydrates because right. it's not number one source of energy. Yeah. Our brain needs also carbs.
Yeah. You
know, carbs. So, yes, I would say we don't store protein as protein, but we do store the amino acid.
Okay.
You know,
that's so, that maybe clears it up because that. It didn't make sense to me that your body is as fantastic as it is, it can't store the protein. But I wasn't thinking of it as being broken down into the better energy which your body can use, which is amino acids. Yes.
You could have just have only one time protein in the morning, and don't have anything during the day. It depends what kind of physical job you have, or you're just not heavy. Into it workout, you don't work out very intense hours or twice a day. It's just you a person, you go work, you know, maybe walk the dog a little. You can have only just maybe one time in the morning a nice big protein meal. And during day, just adjust the carbohydrate for your energy.
Right, right. Yeah, interesting.
You're not going to get fat, you're not going to get small. You're just going to stay like that.
Right. Now, one thing that I've noticed repeatedly, and again, yesterday especially, was I feel like, and I'm not taking any kind of steroids, any kind of drugs like that, okay? What I feel is this intense, it's this tight pump. And for the people that have taken drugs, they know what I'm talking about. You get that pump in your muscle that's, you can't hardly bend your arm in this case, you know, if you train your triceps. And you're telling me, and because we've talked before, it has to do with nitrogen balance. So tell me what is so different about the nitrogen balance in the protein that we're talking about here versus other proteins, and how is the nitrogen responsible for that muscle pump?
Yeah, well, because like we mentioned, we have 38% more amino acid, which just causes nitrogen retention. So because the age defense, the growth factors are responsible to have assimilated more amino acids from the A or the steak eating. So that's why, because there's a 38%, it does nitrogen retention like you take anabolic steroids, they increase nitrogen retention because they have a protein synthesized. So this age defense growth factors, in my own theory and the way it's demonstrated on my physique, it does as much nitrogen retention than taking anabolic steroids, and you don't have side effects.
So it's mimicking the steroid, basically, is what you're saying, in its uptake in the retention of the amino acids.
Well, it's you know, these growth factors, they are not hormones, but they act as hormones too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a growth hormone, but they act as a hormone.
Yeah. It's so remarkable, Emmerich. You know, I was telling one of my partners, I said, you know, the thing that floors me at this stage of the game is because of the fact that I'm 65 and I'm looking at my physique now, and I can't even believe to some degree that's really me. Last night I was home because I just did I put a photo up on Instagram. That I took a side chest shot, you know, because I've been tracking like my transformation. I looked yesterday, 6 months ago, I was weighing 215 pounds and I took a photo there. And then last weekend, I took another shot. Right now I'm weighing 230 and I'm in much better shape, fuller, you know what I'm talking about. And I looked at that photo and I thought, fuck, is that really me? I looked in the mirror, you know, I did a little side shot. And I go, that's me. And it's hard for me to understand and believe that could be happening, not taking any drugs, just to be quite honest with you.
And the other one, probably some people, they're listening. Maybe some people, they have PhD, they're more educated, biochemists, et cetera. And other thing, they can argue, I do believe, you know, after exercise, your satellite cell get activated. I believe when you take these growth factors, your satellite cell is activated nonstop. Because, you know, after workout, satellite activation, that's how you put muscle on, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I believe Well, the study they conducted at Washington State University on vitro, not vivo, it shows that the human effort did activate satellite cells. So now,
just to be clear for the people who are listening, Humanifort, the product is branded in different ways. Humanifort is growth cell and it's aged advanced. Yes. Those are one and the same.
Yes, same thing. Yeah.
Just to be clear. Okay.
Yeah, it's just the reason talking age difference because older people, they Google Humanifort, they see bodybuilders, they get scared.
Yeah.
I don't know, that get big, but they don't know that no matter what you take, you must exercise.
Yeah.
You know, you don't stimulate and you don't have atrophy, you know, muscles, it's not going to grow because that demonstrates some bodybuilders, athletes, they're taking anabolic steroids and they don't work legs, the legs stay skinny.
Right.
If the steroids will work just taking it, then your legs should get big, not just the upper body where we're training.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Some people don't understand that, you know, they think, oh, God. Just like Barry Bonds. I don't know if you remember that guy. He's a baseball player, a great one.
I did help him to pose for Flex magazine.
Oh, really?
At Balco Laboratory, Victor Conti.
Yeah, oh yeah, Victor, I know.
And Jim Schmaltz came down from Flex to interview Barry, and you know, for the Flex magazine.
Yeah.
So. His trainer, Greg Anderson, I know him because of the same area. So I was there waiting because, you know, he's not a bodybuilder. He didn't know how to show biceps.
Right.
So Greg ran in quick. He said, Barry, find out that Emmerich is a professional bodybuilder. He's going to be here. And he said, if Emmerich mentioned any word about steroids, I'm out. I'm not here to talk about steroids. First of all, I am the person it against abuse of steroids.
Right.
So anyway, I said, no, I know, because he was really scared that they're going to be a pro bodybuilder.
Right.
So anyway, he was, after we did a posing and flexing, he said, you know what, I thought that this bodybuilding is just a pussy sport.
Yeah.
But he was sore and he was breathing, sweating. He said, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel like hell. I said, just imagine when the bodybuilder is on the stage flexing.
Yeah.
They have all this compression. Yeah. Next day we score like a hell, and also that isometric flexing also helps to stimulate muscle.
I was never so sore than after a competition, and it took a while to wear off.
So Barry said, "Now I have respect." And I thought his body was, you know, just like sissy boys to go right. And flex.
Yeah,
but he said, "Man,
you know, so I mean, Eric, it's just like a lot of things in life. You know, there are things that just, you know, that more than meets the eye. You know, just what you see and what's really going on." Obviously are two different things, because to have a bodybuilder be up on stage and move gracefully and make it look easy, it's the furthest thing from easy. They've just learned how to do that. And it's, again, in that sport, it takes a lot to get to that level. And most people will never get that. But the point that I was going to make with Barry is, because I know he had some issues with, you know, with some drug use in baseball, but you know, just because you take drugs, if you don't have the talent, just like you're saying, if you take the drug and you don't go do the exercise, you're not going to get the progress and the result.
No,
and that's exactly. Sometimes people just don't get that.
Exactly. If you're born with the talent, you're going to have them. If not, no drug's going to make you better.
Well, it's just like they said, you take the drugs away from these guys that are talented, that are, you know, leading in home runs or whatever, just take that away and they're still going to lead in home runs. Because they're talented, that's why.
Okay, of course, you know, when you hit the baseball, the ball, you know, if your speed, is reaction is faster, stronger, of course, the impact is harder and the ball goes further.
Yes.
Same as when you drive a car 10 miles an hour in a wall or 50 miles an hour.
But you still have to have the talent to be able to hit a 80-mile fastball or a curveball with a round bat squarely. You still have to have that talent, but you're right.
It was already ready to be Hall of Fame before using any steroids.
Right, right, exactly.
I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because I start to be a bodybuilder, an athlete from an Eastern Bloc country, from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
We had different mentality and the way we're educated in the sports. when you started bodybuilding, when you start working out, did you always did in advance mental preparation, or you just went to the gym and start working out?
I would say that the mental preparation wasn't a lot. I would say that getting ready for a competition, now that was a whole different preparation. But here's something just to address what you're saying, because I asked when I was in Bulgaria, because what I noticed about their athletes, and again, this wasn't bodybuilding, this was Olympic lifting. And what I noticed about those athletes was, and this was the way that they were trained, they didn't have them go up to a bar and do all this preparation before they lifted the lift. They taught their athletes to go right up to the bar and lift it. Yet, and I told them, I said, do you do a preparation before you do your lift? And they said, no, that actually takes away from the athlete performing at his best, because he's having to think before he goes and does his lift. So what their strategy was for their athletes, and I saw this because I was in Bulgaria twice watching their athletes train for Olympic competition. They would do 50 to 65 one rep maxes every day when they went into the gym, because they made it so automatic that they didn't have to think about it. So these guys would just walk up to the bar, Emmerich, and I watched them in a competition. They would just walk up to the bar and grab it and put it over their head. Where these other guys, they would come up and they had this routine that they did. You know, they went through this whole process. They had to prepare for themselves to actually lift it.
Well, in Olympic weightlifting, yes, but I'm talking about in bodybuilding, because in a weightlifting, you have one lift maximum.
Right.
Versus in the bodybuilding, you sets by sets by sets.
That's right.
So the way I learned the mental preparation. So basically, for example, tonight when I go to sleep, I know tomorrow what body part. I start already, before I go in bed, I start thinking about preparing and visualizing. And right, just going to the gym, I already in my mind visualizing, and closer to get to the gym, I start getting a little goosebumps.
Interesting.
Because if you really train and you feel the pain you have, it's not a pain like you bump your elbow or something. It's a pain, but it's a pleasuring pain, because the pain, the pump, the lactic acid, it's basically that I'm telling people, when the pain becomes pleasure, then you're going to have the gain. I said, if you start burning and drop the weight, I said, you have to go further than that.
Yeah.
So that I did always preparation. I also visualize a bench press, anything, you know, I just, you know, I see guys, they have a headset, then dancing and jump.
Right. Yeah.
Sit on the bench. And so what I do, I sit on the bench, I close my eye, and I visualize, picture everything. I'm going to lay down on the bench. I'm going to grab the bar. I don't know, I'm going to grab how wide, you know, and holding and feeling it. And I like to squeeze the bar.
Yeah.
I like to squeeze. I like to squeeze to feel, you know, if guys squeeze the bar. So then I come down and I visualize, you know, how you do cable crossed from the mirror and see you. The fibers on the chest.
Right.
And do that. I visualize that happening and I move. I don't go. Somebody says, oh, bring the bar down under your chest. What I do, I with just the bar with no weights, I grab the bar, I come down towards my nipples, and there, without touching, I move the bar up and down. And I feel the most of my chest. That's angle. Because as I'm telling people, if you see somebody working out doesn't dare and is big because abusing steroids, it's not necessary. You have to analyze every single motion.
Right.
If somebody real deltoids, you don't have to keep angles. You move your angles where you feel the most. Same with the squats. Some people, they have very flexible. They can go down nicely, the ankles, everything. Some people, they stiff. They can't do that. So you have to always, wear a body part using, analyze it. Don't copy that guy.
Right, right.
You may probably feel it more just a couple of degree behind you or sideways.
Right. One of the things that I do, again, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't do much preparation, visualization before I go to the gym. But I tell you what I do is that My goal when I go into the gym is, my stated goal is this: I want to feel every single set that I do. Every single set that I do, I want to feel it. Train, feel what you train. It doesn't really matter. You know, I can tell you that the bench press, like what you're talking about, should be, the bar should come down here. But it may not be that way for you just because of the way that you're built. Or maybe that day you're just not feeling it. So you got to go to where you're feeling that exercise. That's my goal. Because what I've learned over the years is that, and I've talked about this, especially people that are more intermediate and beginners, 40% of their training is wasted movement because they're not feeling everything. They're not training. It's a difference between training and weightlifting. And there's a distinction there in my mind as it relates to bodybuilding, because you want to feel every single movement.
Yeah. And also, you see a lot of guys, they actually asking for what you're using that for. Oh, for my lower lats. I said, really? So some, they don't even know how the muscles, they attach in our body.
Right.
The fiber, which direction makes. So no, so a lot of people, I said, well, why is it? Well, because I saw watch a video tape with this guy and that guy. I said, well, you know what? Some of those guys, they work out incorrectly also. It doesn't matter. They are professionals.
Yeah, one of the things I did, which was very helpful, and of course I have charts at the gym, but my partner that I've been in business with, he's a chiropractor. When he was going through chiropractic school, they used to work on cadavers. I actually went to when he was working on a cadaver, and I could see, because they're opened up, I could see the muscles, I could see the tendons. That gave a whole different dimension when I was in the gym, because I saw that like that. It's different than seeing it on a poster.
Yeah. When you did the Bulgarian workout system back then, when you were younger and with Phil Hearn, did you ever incorporate a negative in your workouts?
Not much. Some, but not much.
See, after many, many years I worked out, I was experimenting, because every time I get stuck, for example, squats, or mainly I'm talking bench press, because you see more spotting on a bench press than any other exercise.
Yeah.
So every time I get stuck, I wasn't able to move everything. When the guy either helped from the bar or from my elbow, I see the weight going up. I had, you know how you said, I like to feel every single exercise. The feeling disappeared immediately. When the guy touched the bar and the elbow, that feeling you were talking about, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so I told you, just help me. Don't lift it for me. I said, I didn't lift it. I barely touched it.
Right.
I said, no way. I said, I smell up. So then I was thinking about, you know, it's something here. I said, it must be have something with the mind and muscle connection. The impulse, electric impulse, get disconnected, because in my mind, I know how much weight is in the bar, but I don't know how much you helped me.
Right.
Did you help me 10 pound, 20 pound, 30 pound? I didn't know. So what I did, I adjusted. I put the same amount of weight I'm able to move, but a percentage, I used a 45 plate to be not on the bar. They will add them in the middle of the bar when I come down, or on Smith machine, both sides, I have a guy stripping and adding the weight.
Right, right.
So what I did, I had the guy, I put a tape in the middle of the bar so he knows all middle, don't left or right, because then you lose the balance.
Right, right.
Yourself. So he put them there. I said, hold them there and let me do as many reps I can there. When I get stuck, then lift the 45 plates, and I went out again. I did the pause motion, put them back again, and let them be calm down, and let me calm down as many times I can till I say it's over.
Yeah.
I did that. The feeling never disappeared, and that was my best ever, the best way I grew. And then last year when the COVID came, I was going to gym. I still feeling it, but I did not really do negatives. So I started doing the negatives, and it took me a while to adjust mentally and physically. And it's, again, I am like so excited when I was first time discovering how good is this. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Every time I go to the gym, it's like going to a kid to a candy store now.
I understand exactly what you're talking about. And most people think we're fucking crazy, you know, because you're going to the gym and putting yourself through pain. You know, I heard one time as I was watching the Tour de France, and the people that were announcing the event made, they said something that you talked about, and they said what these pro athletes, what real top athletes learn how to do is embrace the pain. They actually train in that. They look for that moment, and they embrace the pain. And that's what a lot of athletes don't do. And that's what you're talking about.
Okay, you know, for a second I lost you because somebody called, but I.
Okay, let me. I'll start over. One of the things that I learned is I was watching the Tour de France, and this relates to you talking about embracing that pain that you're in the gym. And one of the things they said, they go, the athletes in these events, they learn how to embrace the pain, and they actually perform at the highest level, embracing that being uncomfortable. And yes, that's what a lot of people don't understand about the athlete that's training, especially for the sport of bodybuilding, because as you know, it's thousands and thousands of reps and sets, and, you know, and you have to put yourself in that pain, but you have to be able to be comfortable in an uncomfortable environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as it relates to spotting, I've talked about this before. Most people who spot are a liability to the person who's training because they don't know how to keep you connected to that bar and that exercise all the way through that movement. They take the bar away too soon, or they think they're not doing that, but they're disconnecting you because they don't know how to spot, and they become a liability.
So basically what I tell when a spotter helps like that, I tell guy, it doesn't help you. It prevents you to grow because it takes up the load.
Yeah, yeah.
Of you, it takes up the load.
And about the reason why I didn't do much. I did some negative work, but not much. But what I saw with people when they actually were spotters that were helping do negatives, is they usually did a negative too fast, and when they did that, they took the strain off the muscle, and it went right to the joint and the ligaments, and that's no good, you know. Yeah. So I didn't do a lot of that, but Tom Platz and I, what we used to do a lot of partials, you know. I mean, we'd do like 100 leg extensions and do just as many partials, you know. Anything to exhaust the muscle. That's what we were looking for, to feel what we train.
Yeah, but also Tom Platz had a really unbelievable, his knees are unbelievable because he was going so deep and even bouncing from the bottom.
Right. You know something? The Bulgarians addressed that because I asked them about that, going deep. Now, here's what they said. They said, the squat is actually safer when you go deep because you have a Golgi tendon. And the Golgi tendon in your knees is like a shock absorber on a car. So they said it's much safer to go down there deeper than it is to go down halfway, because when you're transitioning, going back up after you come down halfway in your transition, they said that quick transition is deadly to the knee. They said going deeper was much better.
Now, I know deeper, but what I mean, he went deep, but he let also, normally you go deep, but you let yourself down almost like fall. It went even deeper, and you can see there how the knee.
Oh, yeah. That to me would seem like it'd be very dangerous, but he's a freak of nature.
I think because it has such a huge hamstring, that was a little cushion behind.
Yeah, maybe so. Probably, yeah.
So that probably prevented him to get injuries.
I don't know if I told you. It was always scary training with him. I trained with him at Gold's Gym. He got me ready for a show. And I'll tell you something, Eric. I've never been afraid to go into the gym. But when I trained with him, there's a part of me that was scared shitless because I knew what was going to happen. He was insane. I'll tell you that right now. But I learned a lot from him.
Yeah. A friend of mine who was working out at Gold's, he called me and said, Tom did today legs. He said, it's unbelievable. After leg workout, he couldn't walk.
Yeah. No, I saw it.
He said he just tortured himself.
I saw it. Did I ever tell you a story about the breathing bench?
No.
Okay, so Tom and I were working back. So we did lat pull downs. I don't know how many sets we did, a lot of sets. And anyway, we ended up going to it's probably the third set that we did, maybe the second exercise that we did, I'm sorry. And it was a T-bar row. So we go over there, and Tom was very eccentric. He had a bag. In his bag, he had all kinds of tools tape, you name it. It was like a pharmacy in there. Not any drugs, but I mean, he just had a bunch of tools and whatnot. He tells me, he goes, Leo, I want you to go before we do this, go over there and get a breathing bench. I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck is a breathing bench? I mean, I've been at this point, I'd been training for about seven years. I never heard of a breathing bench. So I said, Tom, I hate to ask you this, but what's a breathing bench? Oh, he said, just a regular bench over there, the incline bench. Just bring it over here. So we're doing T-bar rows. We put on four quarters, and the first set, all the way till about probably the fifth set, we did 100 reps, and wow. We were just getting started. So I knew what the breathing bench was for, because after you do 100 reps, one time you're breathing hard, five times, and Emmerich, we started stripping weight after the fifth set, and we did like 8 or 9 or 10 sets, and we never got under 25-pound weights. And I tell you something, in between sets, I was sitting down on the bench with my head between my legs, kind of, and I was bleeding. I tore these calluses off my hands, and Tom saw that. And he goes, oh, just wrap it up with tape. We wrapped it up with tape and just kept on going. That's the way he was. He was crazy that way.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It was insane. That, in fact, after that workout, Emmerich, I'm living, you know, 200 miles away. I was down there in a hotel and training there for the weekend with him. I went home on a Sunday. Monday morning, when I woke up, both of my arms were bent like this in an L because they were so sore, and the ligaments and the tendons were so sore, I couldn't straighten them. I had to have my wife get some hot towels and put them on my arms so I could straighten them so I could go to work. That's how sore I was.
Yeah, it's that's why I think he go down list of the best ever developed legs.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's no question about that. Anyway, hey, listen, we need to wrap up here. This has been a really good, informative podcast, and I appreciate you coming on. And I'd like you to come on some more to keep talking, because we talked in a little more detail today about some of this products.
Yes. Also, Robbie just texted me that he said he couldn't get on. Maybe we can just interview him alone without the arm, and then I will explain another show how this helps people with sickle cell anemia.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll go more in detail. So I will call him when he gets off, tell him that, reschedule him only.
Yeah, what I think Robbie should do is, instead of waiting till the day that we do this, is he needs to maybe practice or something, and I can help him do it with Kara at the other place to make sure that he can get on.
Yeah.
You know?
Or I mentioned him that if you're up in that area in Santa Monica, you might to maybe get together.
Yeah, yeah.
So said, no problem.
Yeah, so I have his phone number. I'll try to contact him.
Let's do this. Maybe Charlie or your assistant lady will talk with Robbie and show me exactly, so
yeah,
he will know how to go.
Yeah, I'd really like to talk to him about this. I think it'd be a good podcast. So anyway,
Emmerich, so it's easier to be on a computer or a cell phone. It doesn't matter, yeah?
Does it matter, Charlie? Computer or cell phone? It's the exact same. It's pretty much the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give Robbie a call right now.
Okay.
And let him know that we miss him. But
okay. That sounds good. That sounds good. Emmerich, always a pleasure. I appreciate your time. I really do. It's always amazing to talk with you.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm going to go now to the gym. I can't wait.
All right, man. Put yourself in pain and embrace it, okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to look for the breathing bench.
Okay. Sounds good. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.